are here at the 2018 NACUSO Network Conference in a lovely place called Disneyland, where I ran into, of all people, Mr. Dennis Dollar. How are you?
I always try to be at the happiest place on earth, and we're here this week. So
We are. How are you doing so far?
Doing good. Credit Union's doing well, and the credit unions we're working with doing very, very well, and many of the more, I would say, progressive credit unions are really exploring the collaborative model that is CUSOs more and more. We have a number of our clients that are, and so we always make them to CUSO conference every year. Usually they're kind enough to ask me to make a presentation about where credit unions are going, how CUSOs fit in that that picture, and we'll be doing that on Thursday morning.
Yeah, let's talk about what you're going to be talking about on Thursday morning, because there's a little bit, I don't want to say a political slant to it, but it's Trump and what's happening in the kind of the shakeup, what's going on there. And so give us a quick overview. You're the expert here.
Well, I don't know there's such thing as an expert on politics. There's a lot of people who follow it, and we all just take terms of being wrong. But my presentation is basically going to be the Trump effect as it relates to credit unions. And you are seeing a real change, I think, under Trump because of his business background, that from a regulatory perspective, there is some movement towards less new regulation. Mm-hmm. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to repeal all the regulations over the last eight years. It doesn't seem to be a lot of movement towards that. The last 8 years, post-financial crisis during the Obama administration was very heavy in activist regulation. But I think that there's not a lot of effort to repeal most of that, some perhaps. But the big movement is less new regulation. And as a result of that, you're seeing a little bit more of a willingness to invest on the part of businesses in general, and I think credit unions as well. You're seeing the credit likelihood go up for many small businesses because new startup businesses are doing much better in a improving economy. So I think there has been somewhat of a Trump effect for credit unions, and we're going to talk about that a little bit, and talk about where that may lead. Of course, you only know as far as the next election, and even who controls Congress in the meantime. So nothing is permanent. Certainly, nothing is permanent in the political arena. But I think from a credit union's perspective, and particularly for those types of credit unions that invest in CUSOs, which are a very progressive credit union that wants to see and maximize the value of a collaboration, I think that the less regulatory impediments in the way of that, the better. And I think the Trump effect is having some impact there.
How about the Speaker Ryan effect? He's stepping down at the end of the year. How is that? Will that have any effect on? Because there's going to be a little bit of a shift going on there, obviously. People on both sides of the aisle are talking about what's going to happen, predicting all that type of stuff. How do you see it shaking out?
Well, I like Paul Ryan a lot. I've known him for a number of years, but I don't really think who is going to be the speaker if the Republicans control the House is really the question. The question is, are the Republicans going to control the House?
Right, right.
And
that's kind of
and that is very much up.
That's
in the
effect
air
of
at
it.
This stage. That's right. I mean, the founding fathers set up our Constitution in a way that the House of Representatives is designed to be closest to the people and to be reflective of moods and changes in the public. Perception and of various issues. And I don't think we know exactly come November of this year where the American people are going to be standing on Donald Trump.
No doubt.
If they like the way that things are going, then I think the Republicans hold the House. And then really whether it's Ryan or Kevin McCarthy or Patrick McHenry or Steve Scalise or whoever it may be, I don't think will change the policy as it impacts credit unions. It will certainly impact who has the gavel. Now, if Trump is at a low ebb come November, I think it's very, very possible that you could see the Democrats take the House. And then you're going to have Nancy Pelosi back as Speaker. And I think that the concern there from some credit unions' point of view is that it may throw tax reform back out on the table.
No doubt.
With a relook at all of the tax exemptions that were granted before, which includes the credit union tax exemption that was maintained. And so I think that there is the question of who controls Congress more so than who's going to be holding the gavel as Speaker.
And you have Orrin Hatch talking about the credit union taxation. What's your take on that whole thing?
Well, interestingly, Orrin Hatch decides on the year that he's going to retire
to
take on credit unions. I noticed that he didn't do it during the 40-some years.
Of course not.
He was in the Senate and had to go back and face the voters of Utah who are members of credit unions. Interestingly, the tax bill that just came through Congress, first major tax rewrite in over 25 years, came through Orrin Hatch's committee. and Orrin Hatch had the wonderful opportunity right then to offer an amendment to tax credit unions. He didn't. Hmm. He waited till after the bill passed.
Interesting.
Without the credit union taxation being included, mm-hmm. protecting the credit union tax exemption, to write a letter to NCUA and say, I think because credit unions are growing as much as they are, that maybe we ought to re-examine the tax exemption. He had a great chance to re-examine the tax exemption just a few months ago. He didn't. And I think if you look at the number of other senators who've joined him in that letter, mm-hmm. who have sent an echoing letter saying, I agree with Senator Hatch, it's been deafeningly quiet. I've noticed that too. I think Senator Hatch has written a letter on his way out that expresses perhaps his longtime ties to the banking industry in Utah. And hey, more power to him. I hope he has a great retirement. But I don't think that his letter is going to have a whole lot of impact on the tax exemption issue. Yeah. Because basically, what we have found in our work on Capitol Hill is the Republicans like credit unions because there's self-sufficiency, there's small business, there are people pooling their own money to help each other, not turning to the government. Right. The Democrats like credit unions because we serve the little guy. Mm-hmm. We focus on much of what they consider to be their constituency. Mm-hmm. So Democrats and Republicans both like credit mm-hmm. unions. And if you start looking at taxing credit unions, even under the old tax rates, before the new tax law, that the 35% income tax on corporations would raise about $2.5 billion a year, mm-hmm. $2.5 billion a year. The federal debt is $21 trillion.
There's a few zeros over there, yeah.
I mean, you're trying to empty the Pacific Ocean with a Dasani bottle if you're going to try to deal with the national debt by taxing credit unions. And that was under the old tax rate, 35%. At 21%, the new tax rate is less than $2 billion a year. Yeah. But 110 million members, there's not many political figures who are going to make that calculation and say, I'm willing to anger potentially 100 million members of credit unions mm-hmm. to pick up $2 billion a year mm-hmm. against a $21 trillion debt. Mm-hmm. So I think the credit union position is very strong, particularly if we stay active with our advocacy.
Right.
I think that we'll be fine, Orrin Hatch notwithstanding.
Exactly. And he's, like you said, he's going to have a nice retirement.
He's on his way out, and I think he served well over his years, but he was always known as a friend of the bankers.
Yeah.
And so I think he came in as a friend of the bankers. He's going out as one.
Exactly. And so, I mean, I've been in this industry since the mid-90s, or the early 90s, actually, and every year the taxation thing comes up. Will it ever go? Is this just going to be one of these constant little bickering that's going to happen? Or?
As long as there are banks that are paying taxes and credit unions that are not, despite the structural differences between the two, the banks are going to be pushing to see the credit unions taxed. But they've been pushing it since 1934 when the Federal Credit Union Act was passed. The tax exemption has been in place since that time. Congress has met every year since then. Mm-hmm. They've had a chance to change it every year since 1934. There has not been any major effort to change it over the course of those years. And I think the reasons are the very things that we said a moment ago. The folks in Congress understand the structural difference. One is formed for profit. One is not for profit. The ones that are formed for profit pay the corporate income tax. Those that are formed not for profit do not. Same thing in every industry. For profit hospitals, not for profit hospitals.
Yeah.
For profit places to work out like Gold's Gym, not for profit places like the YMCA. Mm-hmm. In every business in America, there's a for profit sector, for profit power companies, not for profit rural electric cooperatives. It's the structure that defines the difference. And when you combine the fact that you've got 110 million members and it's going to raise so little money to tax credit unions,
right.
I think that in actuality the banks will keep pushing it. But in my opinion, they're not pushing it as much because they actually think they're going to get credit unions taxed mm-hmm. as they hope that they can get Congress to agree to not give other additional powers to credit unions, because they say, well, if you're not going to tax them, at least don't let them do any more business loans, or at least don't let them increase their mortgage percentages or whatever. So I think it is more a strategy to try to contain credit unions.
Stifle a little bit?
Than it is necessarily to tax them. I think it's totally driven from a competitive point of view, and I think that Congress is smart enough to figure that out.
Indeed. I think that's a great message to end on. I know you got a busy agenda here. So
always a pleasure.
Thank you so much,
Dennis.
Look forward to your talk on Thursday.